You know, not saying that we need to go into church and start flipping over tables, but our bodies are where God lives today. And if we're sitting on the couch and eating Cheetos and, like you said, just staring at the idiot box all evening, what kind of home are we making for the Lord? And that's not something that, you know, any of us can do by ourselves, but it requires a team.
So, hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers. We have a guest today. My guest today is Jack Pearl. Jack's been in law enforcement 9 years. Before that, he's a collegiate athlete. Not our typical sport that we would necessarily talk about on here, but I'm curious about it because that's a hard-hitting sport, and I'm going to let you talk about it here in just a minute. But before we go, I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll get kicked off with a good interview here. Father in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us here today. I ask that that our software would keep up with us today, Lord, that you would keep us recording so that we don't have to piece this together. Thank you for my guest. Thank you for the experience that he brings and his own testimony. And Lord, all glory is for you. Amen. Yeah. All right. Cool. Jack, thanks for joining me today. And tell us a little bit about your background. What's your backstory?
Yeah, so to kind of piggyback off of what you said, grew up in South Georgia, which is not necessarily a hotbed for lacrosse, but we are right next to Fort Stewart, and we're fortunate enough to have a bunch of guys that played at Army kind of leading the charge, as well as my dad, who, they grew up north, so that was a little bit more of a staple for them, and he saw it and just kind of got us going into it. When we first started the Coastal Georgia lacrosse team, there was 5 kids our first year, and I've got 2 brothers. So if that kind of lets you figure out the math on that, but it has since grown, and now it's a sanctioned high school sport in the state of Georgia, and it has just grown by leaps and bounds. So I was very fortunate enough to get plugged in and kind of through the tutelage of my dad and kind of him coaching us all the way up, was able to get a scholarship to go to a little tiny school in North Carolina to play for a couple of years. So, blew out my first knee there and transferred back to Georgia and, blew out my second knee playing for the University of Georgia. So,
Nice work. And it's a little deceiving because you're sitting down right now, but you're not a little fella, right?
No. I guess basic stats are 6'6 and 250. So kind of one of those hard to blend in, or I don't think I'll have much of an undercover career in anything that we do. So,
yeah, that's probably true. I guess you're just not meant for that, though. But so you ended up going from Georgia to Texas. What brought you to Texas?
So the job, I graduated University of Georgia with a degree in fisheries and wildlife and started doing some volunteer work for Georgia DNR. And at the time you could do basically a wildlife technician with a law enforcement commission. So you could be a state paid farmer with a badge and a gun. And that seemed right up my alley, and I really looked forward to that. But being the studious pupil that I was, ended up graduating in 5.5 years and with just a bachelor's degree. And by the time I graduated, they ended up splitting those 2 commissions. So you could choose basically wildlife or law enforcement, but you couldn't do both of them together. Tried the wildlife thing for about a year. And just felt called to kind of join the law enforcement side of things. And thankful to a bunch of really good mentors with Georgia DNR who encouraged me and kind of pushed me to grow. And one thing led to another and got pushed towards Texas. So honestly, in my opinion, it's one of the best states to live in and work for. And my wife and I were dating at the time, and I told her I was going to apply out here, and she said, go for it, and I'll follow you out there. So that's where we ended up. First few years were on the southern border, and that was a little bit of a culture shock for us, but finally landed up in Northeast Texas in a little small community up here, and I absolutely love it. We fell in love, and hopefully we'll be able to kind of keep our roots here for a little while.
Very good. Very good. And then you and I talked about being part of a tag team, and I don't want to go into specifics on that, but I do want to know kind of what got you interested in that, and what do you guys do?
Man, I don't know where the switch flipped for me. To be perfectly honest, when our team first started, it really wasn't anything that I had any great deal of interest in. And all of a sudden, I got the fire. And interestingly enough, I very successful my whole life, and just about everything I've tried to do, I've been able to accomplish. And I ended up washing out of our selection the first time I showed up. And, you know, looking back, I was pretty upset, but it allowed me to really rededicate myself to the craft and to being able to push just a little bit further. So grew in my relationship with the Lord through that, grew in my relationship with my wife through that, studied pistol shooting, rifle shooting, studied leadership and teamwork. And honestly, I think waiting the 2+ years between selection efforts helped me to be ready to be a part of a team rather than just be the cool guy, you know? So it was a blessing in disguise, and able to jump at it and really enjoying being a part of that family now.
Good. Good deal. Yeah, there's a special kind of camaraderie when you're a part of a team like that. I can speak from experience that, you know, that was probably the best part of my career, was being a part of one of those teams. And so that's great. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, and, you know, like any believer, the typical SWAT mentality is always something that kind of puts us a little bit on edge, where we don't want to get into the partying and the after-hour side of what you typically see a bunch of SWAT guys do. And very fortunate when I got on the team. And since then, you know, we've had, I call it having church. We've had church in the front seat of the truck, you know, many a times, and just good discussions and good wholesome team building and family building in that environment, rather than the typical SWAT conference where the after hours party is ridiculous. And it's not really what we want to be involved in, but, pleasantly surprised, and kudos to the guys on our team. They're just a bunch of solid human beings, and absolutely love being part of that. So it was a nice surprise.
Very good. I mean, that's kind of what I expect from Texas, but I'm not from Texas, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But
the TTPOA conference is a little out there, but you know, you'll find good people just about anywhere you go if you look hard enough.
Nice. Well, that kind of brings us around to, you know, what your side gig is. So what are you doing on the side? And I mean, we kind of talked about that being your passion. So let's talk about that.
So I've got two side hustles, right? Because obviously having a field job and a special operations job is not enough. I decided to put a few more pokers in the fire. A couple buddies and I here locally, we decided to start a little training group. Very fortunate that the three of us have been able to really go to some top quality training from world-class instructors and really build our foundation and knowledge and, you know, technical abilities. And like I said, we're in a little tiny community up in Northeast Texas, and a lot of our neighboring agencies don't have that opportunity. And so our passion was, hey, let's let's see if we can give back to these guys and do it at a price point that, you know, these local agencies can afford. So we joke around, we teach civilians, and we charge them probably more than we should, so that we can, you know, hopefully afford to teach cops for free, or, you know, for the price of ammo. So it's a slow work in progress. We're kind of all on the road a lot. And so getting the three of us together to be able to put something organized together is, you know, piecemeal, but we're surviving. And my other gig, I got hooked up with a company called Effective Fitness Training. Basically a company built by cops for cops to really push the fitness standard to a whole new level. We are, you know, building a giant community online. So, you know, headquarters is in South Carolina, but our coaches are spread across the country, and, you know, we're able to deliver a product that makes it A, easy for cops to get involved, and B, will set them up for, you know, career long success. What we've seen, I'm sure you've probably seen it on the SWAT side of things as well, is, you know, we're all type A personalities, and we want to go 110% until we hit a brick wall and it kind of breaks us down. And, you know, my passion for the fitness industry and always trying to be better and lift those up around us, ended up falling in love with this group and this program, because they're really focused on a career long advancement and career long development for our guys. Kind of messed around with them for a few years. And, here this past year, they posted a job application for an assistant coach, and, having known the three founding members of the company, I kind of threw my hat in the ring as a joke, because I was wildly underqualified for what they were asking me to do. But they took a chance and helped build me up and support me, and, you know, been able to get some really good experience and see the impact that we're having, really at this point across the world right now. So that's very exciting.
Nice. Well, you recently did a presentation on that, and I know some of my coworkers were at that. So how did that look? And kind of give us your plug, man.
Yeah. So the Concerns for Police Survivors, it's a national organization that's designed to not only help cops, but the surviving victims of fallen officers, surviving spouses, and help partners. You know, that's something that, you know, a lot of times gets overlooked, is when there's a line of duty death, it's not just the immediate blood family, but it's the blue line family that takes a hit too. So they're really focused on building up. So this was their National Law Enforcement Wellness and Trauma Conference, I believe is the correct phraseology there. But luckily it was pretty close to me, and they asked our company to come do a presentation on how fitness and nutrition can help kind of build cops up. You know, it's one of those, it's so easy for us to make an excuse. And we were able to put together a presentation that's, you know, it's all pretty basic information, but giving guys an idea and kind of a blueprint on how to move forward. Because as we know, and, you know, the Bible preaches that the more capable our bodies are, the more capable our minds can be, and the more resilient we can be. So true to your verse this morning, all these trials, we need to consider pure joy, and whether that's a trial of physical stress as we're preparing our bodies to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, or building that mental resiliency that we need as we go through those trials. It's not a side and a B side. They're kind of all wrapped in together. And the more we can develop a well-rounded individual, a well-rounded cop, the more resilient they'll be, and the more prepared they'll be to handle the stresses that this job throws at us. One of the stats we presented is, and I'm sure you've seen it and heard it before, the average civilian will experience 2 to 3 traumatic events in their lifetime. And the average law enforcement officer experiences about 188 in a career. And so that's something that we just need to be prepared to deal with. And our heart and our passion and our calling is to help cops be physically capable so that they can handle those situations a little bit better when they come across them.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of reminded me of David when you were talking about that. You know, David, obviously he went through a crazy amount of trauma, you know, running from Saul, dealing with his own kids' rebellion, you know, the fallout from his sin with Bathsheba. But it reminds me that when he was actually out fighting his battles, you know, we got some of the most amazing Psalms that he ever wrote, and his mind was working, right, as he's being physically active. And the two did come together. You know, his spiritual life grew as his physical battles grew because he was constantly in touch with the Lord. And I think today it's extremely important that we do. We hit those physical exercises because we don't have to work for our food like we used to, right? We don't have to go out and hunt all the time to put food on the table. We're not everybody has grown a garden to fill their pantry. Instead, they just go down to the grocery store and then they go back home and they sit in front of what my dad used to call the idiot box, you know, sit in front of the TV and just veg out. And that's where we've come today. And it's extremely dangerous, especially for those in law enforcement. But if you're in any career, if you're a Christian and that's what you're doing, you know, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And I don't remember, maybe you'd know who said this. I just saw it the other day, but I can't remember who said it, but basically it was saying that what a shame for us not to ever see the full potential that our bodies have. And maybe it was Aristotle. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, Socrates. Yeah.
Anyway, I just remember that. And Socrates, there you go. See, you knew what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So and, tell us, you know, a little bit more about your program. I mean,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Even though he was not a believer back in the day, you see that same theme echoed throughout the Bible and Paul saying, hey, I've never needed to be supported because through the strength of my own hands and my ability to be productive, I've been able to provide for myself and then some. And you know, that's a great testament to us. You look at Jesus and, you know, he's not this meek and mild savior that we see portrayed with blush and, you know, the soft, for lack of a better term, Snapchat filter, right? That you see in the kind of medieval paintings. He was a warrior, and that was his goal when he came, was to be a warrior for us to win. And obviously, he fought a little bit different battles than the Jewish people at the time were expecting him to fight. But to go into the temple, to make that cat of nine tails and to start flipping over tables, you couldn't do that if you weren't physically in a position to have that strength and to facilitate that righteous indignation for the glory of God to just have that effect on people. And, you know, not saying that we need to go into church and start flipping over tables, but our bodies are where God lives today. And if we're sitting on the couch and eating Cheetos and, like you said, just staring at the idiot box all evening, what kind of home are we making for the Lord? And that's not something that, you know, any of us can do by ourselves, but it requires a team. And that's what I love. You know, EFT's bringing that family feeling into the fitness and training world. We're building each other up, and you know, same like I'm sure you are with your partners. You're finding that way to lift those beside you up.
Nice. So, do they cover only the physical training portion, or do they have any kind of nutrition training, or what else do they offer there?
Yeah, so we have some nutritional guidelines, about a 30-page book that you know, doctors and nutritionists have been able to put together that kind of gives you a blueprint of, hey, this is how to support yourself on the table. It's a far cry from the academy. Here's a 4-hour presentation with the choosemyplate.gov slide up there that I'm sure we've all seen. But it really sets you up for success. We have some nutritional templates that you can use. And then our head coach is a certified nutritionist. And we kind of all build together. And most of us, we can kind of give you that baseline stuff. But we encourage you, if you have any serious questions, like go see a professional in person. Have them help you really dial yourself in. But we can give you the blueprints to get you going. You know, it's one of those, you just got to start layering things in. If you're eating like a slob today, don't expect to be eating perfect tomorrow. But hey, maybe this week I'm going to do one Coke a day instead of six. Or hey, I'm just going to focus on, I'm trying to hit my protein goals today. I'm not going to worry about, you know, the whole big picture of calories and macronutrients and micronutrients. I'm just, hey, let me take one piece of this pie and try and get that. And when that becomes easy, then we can start adding more layers and more layers and more layers. And so it's a marathon, as I'm sure you're familiar with. It's not like we're going to get done before Christmas this year. But if we can just start that ball rolling, the longer it rolls, the more momentum it picks up, and we'll be a little bit better off this time next year.
Cool. I want to know your testimony.
So it's, I enjoy telling it, only for the fact of where I am today and not where I've come from. So kind of back it way up, grew up, again, small town, South Georgia, and great parents. We were in church, a lot. My mom ran the Vacation Bible School, you know, at least once growing up, and super involved there. And then we went to college, and the phrase was, we were a drinking town with a skiing problem. And that's kind of where I went to school and kind of went off the deep end on that. And after I tore my first ACL and transferred back to Georgia, at that time, Georgia was the number one party school in the country. And unfortunately, I was excited about that. So living in an apartment complex, taking the bus to class, one of my friends that I grew up with, she was a soccer player for Georgia. And she had a teammate I was rather smitten with. And so I asked her to introduce us and see if I could take her out on a date. And my friend looked at me and said, you know what? You're not the kind of person I want my friends dating. Whew. That was a wake-up call. And looking back, thinking of kind of all the strings that God was pulling in my life to bring my family to that town when he did, for me to meet this gal way back in kindergarten, and for her to have the courage and the truth to tell me that, really was kind of a wake up call. And so I chewed on it for about a week or two. And I asked her, I said, hey, I think you're right. Where do you go to church, and can I start coming with you? Because I'm definitely not where I need to be. So started going to church about the time I met the woman I'm now married to. And so kind of God's timing was tongue in cheek, kind of like Ruth walking into Boaz's field, right? He just so happened to walk into that field, and my wife just so happened to come into my life at that time. And, you know, since then we've continued to grow together, and the closer we grow to God, the closer we grow together. It's like this beautiful triangle in a marriage picture where we can't get closer to each other until we get closer to God. And, you know, for the past 9 or 10 years now, we've continued to grow and develop, and our relationship is amazing. She is incredibly supportive of all the harebrained schemes that I try and go to, and God has continued to bless us with amazing people in our lives and amazing opportunities coming up, and just excited to see how we can help further the kingdom and kind of honor the blessings that he's been able to provide us with.
Very good. We talk a lot about being close with the Lord and reading his word and things like that, but a lot of times we don't go into specifics. So specifically, what are you doing to stay in your faith, to build your faith, and to be in community with other believers?
So the big thing for me was finding a really strong Bible believing church. Obviously we're still considered the South. And so there's a Baptist church on just about every corner. And, you know, we used to joke growing up, there's more Baptists than people down here. But try and fight it as I may, I became a macro Baptist and we joined the church. And so the day to day is our church sends out a reading plan. And we're currently going through the book of Romans as a church community. I'm part of a men's ministry and we meet every Monday night and we eat really good food. And the families all get together. So it's husbands, wives, kids. We all get together, have a big church family supper every Monday night. And then the women, we joke, the women go off and talk about the men and the men stay there and talk about Jesus. But, you know, we have some really deep conversations and we get into some theology and we're encouraging each other to grow and to build. You know, Hebrews 10, you know, push each other forward and don't neglect meeting, because this is a big thing for us to daily get in the word and answer the questions that our church has put out for us. And then on Monday nights, really, really dig into where we are spiritually, as a corporate body, and then individually as the Godhead of our family. And so it's very exciting for us to be a part of that and to see that. Getting into this church though was a little bit of an adventure. We started at another church down the road, and one of my partners to the county south of me said, "Hey man, why don't you come to our men's group? We eat really good." And he kind of left it at that. And first time I showed up, I ate way too much really good food and loved the conversation. And so I started going to that men's ministry while attending corporate worship at another church. And the preacher, he's our age. He's awesome, you know, full of energy and man, he's got the energy and the ability to bring the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary every Sunday. And it's fun to be a part of, but he kept asking us to do more and more around the other church. So I was going on Sundays to one church, and about four nights a week, I was at the other church. And part of what he had us do was me and that guy I was talking about, he had us start a workout ministry at the church. So we've got a little metal shed down behind the church in the back parking lot. And, you know, the church budget allowed us to get basically a big pull-up bar cage, CrossFit style, and a bunch of barbells and sandbags and dumbbells. And, you know, now we have probably upwards of 8 to 10 guys some weeks showing up. And fortunately, I'm able to write the programming. And the other guy, he leads the workouts and then finishes with a devotional every day. So just kind of getting a group of guys together and really working hard, growing together through hard things. And then, you know, sending them out the door every day with a little bit of taste of Jesus. And some of the feedback we've had from that, you know, guys bringing their families more into how we're supposed to be leading them. You know, hey, if I can do this hard thing at 5 o'clock every morning, then why can't I get my family to put their feet under the same table every night and say the blessing before we eat, and, you know, lead them in prayer and lead them in devotion and try and bring my family along with me in this great journey that we started. So it's been very exciting to be, you know, at least a small part of that.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah, how can you beat that? I mean, you got good food, you got workouts, and you got the word. I think you're on a good path right there.
Yeah.
What about Enter the Lion? I mean, we don't have a.
Sorry,
our timing's a little off. Sorry about that.
He's good, but we'll hook him for the wrong reasons and get him to stay for the right reasons.
Nice. That's a good one. But I was going to ask you about Enter the Lion. Tell me about that, because, I mean, obviously Thin Line Believers doesn't, you know, have a patent on the word. So what do you got going on there?
So I am just a very small fish in that pond. The guy who runs it, Josh Cook, has really, so he was a cop out on the East Coast, and the good Lord called him to get out of law enforcement and to kind of pursue this thing with Enter the Lion. And it is a law enforcement, faith-based community, for lack of a better term. And he puts out these online Bible studies. And, you know, I'm currently in a group with guys from Virginia, Texas, Pennsylvania. I've had guys from, you know, the Midwest all the way out to the West Coast, and just really digging into the word with these guys. You know, I guess it was supposed to be weekly, but we like each other so much that we meet about every other week or once a month, so we can spread it out just a little bit longer. But pretty neat. Lord called me and my partner to the South, Scott, and Josh. He called us all together, and we got this harebrained scheme that in the spring, so March 24th to the 26th, out here in East Texas, we're going to have a faith and fitness retreat. And Enter the Lion is going to be, you know, kind of one of the big facilitators there, as well as our church. We're just going to get some guys out here, and we're going to do some hard workouts, and then we're going to have some hard conversations, but it's all designed to build each other up and, you know, to get more of Christ in the law enforcement profession and more of us, I guess, kingdom minded as we go about our job. And how can we show the light of God and the love of our Lord as we go from call to call and we go from crazy thing to crazy thing? We're excited to see where the Lord's going to take that. And our men's group cook is going to be cooking for us. So we'll at least have some really good food, even if the workouts come back to visit us later.
Nice. What part of Texas is that going to be in?
Northeast Texas, so a little bitty town called Jefferson. We've got a great place out there. It's a few thousand acres that we've got a lodge on, and we're going to be able to host probably close to a dozen guys. We'll start sending out, you know, those announcements. So be on the lookout for that probably in the next month or two. Try and get some registrations, and we're going to try and scholarship the cost of it. See how gracious some of our sponsors can get and see if we can sponsor some of the travel out here, but no promises on that. But we promise if you get here, we'll take care of the rest.
Nice. Very cool. I've got a buddy that lives in Allen, so I'm gonna share that info.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
Cool. Well, any good stories before we wrap this up?
What? Probably not a whole lot that we can share without giving away too much. But, man, the great part about our job is we get to see something new every day. And, you know, a lot of the really funny stuff comes from, you know, running into Bigfoot hunters in East Texas. So our wonderful mayor has dubbed our hometown as the epicenter for Bigfoot in Texas. And, you know, once a year, there's a big convention out here. So there's no shortage of amusement and interesting conversations you can have when the convention comes to town and we get to see these people out in the woods. So, just a little light on a dark night sometimes.
Nice. Maybe I'd check that out one of these days, but I don't know if I'd fit in very well. But, hey, why don't you pray us out then, if you're willing?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord and Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this opportunity, this time that we got to talk and visit. And Lord, we just hope that this conversation blesses those who hear it, and we can always work harder to be more about your business and our daily troubles and our daily struggles and our daily life. Lord, we just know that you are our provision, our strength, and we ask that all those who listen to this conversation learn from that and learn to rely on you more. Bless us as we go forward, and just let us always be about your business. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, folks. And, hey, check out Effective Fitness Training. I'm probably going to sign up and give it a try myself because I haven't yet, so I can't speak firsthand about it, but I am going to check it out. I don't think it'll make me 6'6", 250, but it might slim me up a little bit, so... anyway, yeah, with that, thanks again, Jack, for joining us on here.
Fitness. And it starts with a 2-week free trial, so it doesn't cost you a dime to sign up and give it a try. We got a team of coaches here for you guys, and just a small anecdote about it. My coach is super proud of it, but my wife hates all the gains I'm making because I'm ripping pants left and right. So if you're looking to get strong legs and a Sasquatch booty, then this thing might be for you.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think they make special britches for that, but I don't know. Maybe you got to sew some elastic in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll make sure to find that and link it in the show notes here. And until next time, God bless. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Jack.
Yes, sir.